Thank you, Paul Aldrich. Thank you so much for that opening. I am so glad you are here. Thank you for coming out today. For those of you who've been in seminars, how many of you have been in seminars with myself or Paul or Gordon or Robert before? How many of you have been in the... Okay, so you guys kind of know what to expect, okay? Our thing, it's kind of like a big soup. Okay, we're going to throw it all in the pot. Okay, we're going to cook it up a little bit, and hopefully when you go out, you're going to go, man, I am full and that tasted good. Okay, we're going to have fun today. You can laugh. You can shout out things if you want to. You are allowed to disagree. Okay, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to be wrong. All right. I've been married for 30 years. I know how to be wrong, okay? And so I have a wonderful wife. We've been married 30 years consecutively. At our anniversary this year, I was able to take her back to the same place that we actually, that I proposed to her, same restaurant, and was there. That Burger King is still open. And I looked at her, and I had another ring for her, a new ring for her after 30 years. The first one, we didn't have any money back then. And the second one, we still didn't have any money. But I said, you can put it with the other one, make it look bigger. And I looked at her, and I said, baby, let's do another 30 years. And my wife, her heart, some of you know her, you've met her before. She looked at me, and she said, let's just take it 10 at a time. And so that's what I got. Men! You will connect with more men and reap the benefits of those men when you utilize the three things that every man wants. Now, I'm looking at your faces, you're going, uh-oh, what are you going to talk about? We are going to talk about men today. Before we do that, I believe the Scripture. And James tells us if we lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, didn't mention the ladies, but the women, you know, are okay. You guys are okay. But if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And it says that God will give that wisdom if we ask. So what I believe in doing, in anything we do, is to ask God for wisdom and then expect that wisdom to come. All right? We want to pray in expectation, okay? I don't want to pray in misery. I don't even want to pray in hope. I want to pray in faith. I want to pray in absolute, I know, okay? So let's stop for just a minute. Would you bow your head and would you just take just a second and say, Father, would you make this seminar a moment of wisdom for my center and for me? Father, give us your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we want to connect with men? Thank you. I got to put the glasses back on. Why do we want to connect with men? I'll tell you why, for your center, you want to connect with men. Number one, money. Okay? Now, I love to take notes on 3x5 cards. I have 3x5 cards at the end, so if you don't have a way that you're taking notes, we've got ways that you can make flashcards just right down at the end. Just wave to the end of your row right there, and she'll pass you. Everybody's got 3x5 cards down there, okay? So if you want to take these things right here to reach more men right here, why do we want to connect with more men? I put number one, I put money. Okay. Number two, I put money, and number three, I put money. Okay. I put three different things. Okay. Denomination, money. What do you mean by money, Mike? Let me give you a quick statistic. Okay. Let's just, for instance, pretend if we can that this is a round top table at your banquet. Okay. Here we've got a round top table at your banquet. You know the kind you use, a nice round table. You got 8 or 10 people at that banquet table. Okay. Statistically, if you have 8 women at that table, how much will that table produce for you in a banquet situation? I know some of you are going, Mike, I want to reach more men for our men's ministry. This is all connected. It's all the soup, okay? It's wisdom is wisdom, and it works, okay? All right? Okay. How much do you think, on average, this 8-top round table is going to produce for your banquet? Anybody want to venture a guess? Somebody venture a guess. 600, very good. What do you got? 300. What do you got? 400. 100. I'm sorry. You got too many ladies' nights out at your event. I'll tell you what. I speak, and some of you know this, I speak at more pregnancy resource centers than anybody else in the country, okay? And so I know this. I walk up to tables of women, and I love them. And one of the things I do at your banquet is I go around to every table in your banquet room. And I meet everybody at the banquet, and I say hello and greet them, because that's what your speaker should do, all right? Speaker's not doing, tell them, you eat later, get up and go do your job, okay? But I go around, and I'll run into a table of all women, and I'll go, oh, so good to see you tonight. Y'all look great. And you know, hey, help me out. Are you having a ladies' night out? And they go, yeah, we're just having a ladies' night out. And I say, good, we're so glad you're here. But you know what the problem is? In my mind, I'm going, isn't this a shame? Because thousands of dollars walked away. Because this table will average across the country. This table will average across the country a $700 total gift. Now you take this same table and take four women who brought their husbands, and that number will go up to, this year, about $2,700. Okay? So just think about that. You might say men are worthless. Well, they're worth at least $1,900. Okay? That, yeah. Okay. Right there. And now, but depending on where you are, if you get that guy there multiple times and connect him, because first time a guy comes, he's kind of a tire kicker. But when you get that guy there multiple times, all of a sudden, this table that was low for you now becomes something. Men bring money to the equation. Why do we want to connect with men? We want male clients to have male mentors. How many of you would love to have more men who are serving to help? Because, you know, hey, you say, Mike, what's your mission statement? I'll tell you what it is, okay? Save the lives of children. Transform at-risk families to thriving. I can't do that if I'm just transforming the women. You follow what I'm saying? I have to have the men. So we need the men for that. Another reason men play into this equation is because, for one, we wouldn't be dealing with the abortion situation if men weren't involved. Okay? Men play at least a 50% role. We'll just give them that. Some of you might say, more than that. Okay, whatever. Okay? I'm not going to argue with you on that. Okay? Percentages. But I'm just saying they at least bring something to the table, okay? Without them, there would not be a problem, okay? And number four, but men also bring some business techniques and some problem-solving techniques. They bring community connection to you. And I know we jumped around as styles and types of what men do there. But we need men. You can't do it without men. So today what I've done is I've put together the three S's that motivate men. There are three S's that motivate men. And the first one is, number one, significance. Men, down deep, want to finish with significance. In fact, I would say that we all want to do that. But I know that men, at the core of their being, want to finish life having done something that was worth doing. They want to cross the finish line and not fall by the wayside. Some of them need to be reminded of that. Some of them need to be encouraged in that. But down deep, they want that. Number two, men are motivated by success. Okay? Men are motivated by success. Mike, isn't that the same thing you just said? No. Men are motivated by being part of an organization that is successful. If at your banquet, you have your nice scroller across the top and you keep reminding them that 1.3 million children were aborted this year, I know it's a tragedy, you know it's a tragedy, we all weep for it. But what that says to a man is that they don't want to join your organization because you're not an organization that's winning. You know, when your invocation guy gets up there and goes, in the time it took to give this invocation, which was way too long, by the way, in the time it took to give this invocation, 20 children were killed. Don't say that! Why man doesn't want to join your team. I live in the Dominican Republic. We're on a mission down there, which includes the operation of two pregnancy centers. Some of you are coming down this year in the end of November and November 30th to be part of a mission trip to the Dominican Republic to work specifically with the pregnancy centers. If you haven't been invited, I'm inviting you right now. Talk to me about it later. We'll talk about that. Love to have you there. But when I'm home, when I'm in the States, I live in Lakeland, Florida. Lakeland, Florida is a offshoot. Our closest big city is Tampa. Tampa Bay, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let me tell you, when the Buccaneers are winning, we will give the Buccaneers anything. You want to tax us? Tax us, Kevin. when you want to tax us. If the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, charge us whatever you want. Add to whatever you want. Because, woo! We want to win, right? Right? Joe, are you from Florida?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you know, you're from Sarasota. Good to see you. Sarasota, senior capital of Florida, right down there. I love Sarasota. Average age is deceased. But anyway, beautiful place. Love the people down there. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. When we're winning, but when we're losing, get rid of them. We don't even need that stadium. We're going to tear that down, burn that metal, make it into something good. You know? Just men want to join a winning team. So men are driven by success. They want to be successful with their peers, and they want the people around them to see them as successful. And so if we present that we're losing, you know, people say, Mike, what is the secret of the fundraising stuff that you do? Is it just because you're a great closer? No. It's because when we come in, I'm able to do programs and never use the word abortion. Because you don't do abortions, do you? Anybody here doing abortions? Okay, we need to talk to you afterwards if you are, okay? The Holy Scriptures in the Old Testament, got one of those, Paul showed me it yesterday. It says that we don't even name the name of the enemy in our camp. But what do? We constantly emblazon the winning numbers of the enemy. No, I want to come in like I just did with Rebecca last year, and this I'm coming back again this year. How many of you have had me for your banquets before? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Most of you, I've been in multiple times. Come back, this will be my third year for you, okay? And so, now, here's the deal. I want to come in, and whether they've done it or not, I'm going to say, wouldn't it be great to stick some birthday candles in those cupcakes up there? And wouldn't it be great tonight if we sang happy birthday to all the little babies who are going to get to hear happy birthday because of people who were in this room last night? And all of a sudden, it connects with men. And men have, oh, I understand that. This is a winning situation. Children are alive because of me. Men want to be successful. Number three S's. When I got to the third one, my wife was looking at me funny going, you're not going to say that, are you? No. What do men want? Superman syndrome. Write that down. Superman syndrome. Do you remember, Robert, the Jerry Seinfeld bit that Jerry would do on that men want to be superheroes? Do you remember that? Barely. Well, I may remember it more. I'm gonna try it. Jerry said, men grow up, and when they're growing up, they wear Halloween costumes, and they're all superheroes. And they somehow, other people are thinking, you know, you ladies, you're thinking about being a nurse, or you're thinking about this. Men actually think that somehow, when they grow up, they could be superheroes. This is why men are always putting a towel around their neck and jumping off the bed, believing that maybe if they had the right towel, they could fly. Now, what does this have to do with anything other than you just being stupid and humorous, Mike? It has to do with this. Men, by nature, are rescuers. They're rescuers. They have that superhero syndrome. Why is it that when there's a wreck on the side of the road, 50 men will jump out, pull out their flashlight that they spent $40 for, that the only thing they could use for is when there's a wreck, pull out that and stand out, just stand there and wave people on. We're on one lane road, we're going this way, and they're standing out there waving them on like people wouldn't have thought to continue in that direction. But they're directing traffic and they're helping the situation. I came upon a wreck and I helped. Men love to be the superhero. When you let them be that superhero, you will see some neat things. There's a wonderful lady that was in our town for many years of Lakeland, Florida. Her name was Dolores Kuhn. Dolores led choirs and worked with churches, and she was a great musician and a great leader of people. And Dolores never had a problem getting help to do anything. Dolores is one of those women who could say, hey, I'd like to build an Eiffel Tower across town. And the next day she would have people lined up to give her money to have. Did you ever meet Dolores? You remember back Dolores? She's passed now. And so, but Dolores's gift was making every man feel like they were the superhero in the deal. Just, I mean, not overtly, not just, but just, she just made you feel like this event truly would not have happened if you hadn't helped. The way that you directed cars in the parking lot, I'm telling you, it never would. You know what I'm saying? She had that ability to, no matter what the man's job was, to make them find out that they were just somehow special. We like to save the day. What kind of men are we looking for? Number one, we're looking for donors. Male donors. We're looking for staff. We're looking for men counselors, volunteers, fundraisers. We're looking for pastors. How many of you like to connect with some more pastors? Anybody like to connect with more pastors? They seem to be one of the hardest groups to connect with, don't they? What I'm going to do, Gordon Douglas was a pastor for many, many years. And in a way, still is. I want a pastor to tell you what you're going to need to do to connect with a male pastor. Gordon, come on.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. It is fun. You know, yesterday we got to speak on speaking the language of the people, whether it's reaching to a client, reaching to a donor, reaching out to the public. Learning that language is important. I do have one of my comedy DVDs. It's called Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. Because men and women speak different languages. Pastors speak different languages. One of my many kids, who I'm known for, you know, we were told we couldn't have kids, and we ended up taking three boys in that turned into 6, 12, 14, and then God blessed us with 5 more. The doctor said were impossible. So we have a big house with lots of kids. My 19-year-old daughter goes off to Bible school. I love that as a pastor. 7 of my kids went to Bible school and wasted money on Bible. But she came home. She wants to be a missionary. She's been down on Mike's mission trip. And she says, Daddy, 1 semester under her belt, 19 years old, Daddy, what would you think if I got married? I was nervous. I know the boy she likes. I'm concerned. There's a 10-year age difference. He's 9. And I just don't think his allowance is enough to support you. I'm just saying. But I made a video for her because I want her relationship to succeed. It's different languages. There's a whole lot on there about how men and women talk differently. The average woman, University of Maryland study, average woman, 20,000 words a day. Average man, ladies, any guesses? 13 is what we have left. The average man starts with 7,000 words a day. But by 5 o'clock at night, we've used up 6,987, right? We come home with 13, which is enough to ask the 3 things every man wants to know. Number 1, what's for? Number 2, where's the remote? Kids, TV, they're all good answers. And number 3, is this our night?
Thank you, Gordon. And Gordon has been with us now, and we appreciate Gordon.
So we talk about relationships and pastors. So we need to get into these kinds of things. But pastors are a unique bunch. If you don't think God has a sense of humor, look at who he's called to lead his church. I mean, I've been to 3 different Bible schools and seminaries. And it's amazing to me. And what most people don't know is pastors are afraid. They're afraid of their church not growing. They're afraid if they offend someone. They're afraid to even bring up the issue of abortion in their church. They don't even understand that 1 in 4 women in their church may have had an abortion already. In some cases, their wife or someone in their youth group. It just boggles my mind theologically. I mean, we went through some of this yesterday. If you have 4.5 hours and you have nothing to do, by the table, our 4.5-hour seminar yesterday. But we talked about pastors and their theology and why they're afraid, and they're not connected, and they're not involved. My little pregnancy center outside Philadelphia, we have 60 churches on our mailing list. 8 support us financially. My little church of 30 to 50 folks is the 2nd biggest church that supports our center. In part maybe because of my leadership, it's always in front there, but it's hard. It's hard. So how do we connect with pastors? And for you, you need to connect with pastors, but understand where they're coming from. Next to maybe pregnancy center directors, they're maybe the most overworked, underappreciated, underpaid, you know, in our areas, inner city. Almost every pastor in my prayer group are bivocational, and their wives also were. It's hard. And we get inundated with stuff. I stand over the trash can with the mail every day. I can't. Every chalk talk artist, every singer, every comedian, every missionary that needs support, I just can't. So when you go to them, they're thinking, here's a group that wants one more thing, and it's controversial, and it's hard, and it's a big battle. So what am I going to do? That it's easy just to bury yourself and they don't connect well. So we need to understand this. If you're going to reach your pastor, don't always go after the pastor or the assistant. I don't have an assistant, but there is a deacon, there's an elder, there's a church rep, there's somebody that has that pastor's ear. It's very hard to just say, hey, pastor, can I come meet with you? Can I speak at your church? Can you give me 5 minutes? Old or very protective, but what will they say? So we need to meet someone and maybe take a step along that line. Go after the guy in the church who has the pastor's ear, or find that someone in the Bible. We had that, right? King David, he had his Nathan. The prophets spoke through the kings and best friends that are there. So often the way that we get bookings in our different pregnancy centers is because someone heard us somewhere and they talked to the director. They talked to the gatekeeper. So it's finding someone that you're not just going to talk to a guy and say, oh, yeah, I would love to be involved. I think we'll support your mission. What do you want me to do? It's a relationship that needs to be built. But the number one thing in this little section is you have to visit churches. The director of development or the executive director, you need to take at least one Sunday a month off and be in another church. Whether you're invited to speak or not, show interest in their ministry, because pastors are really concerned with their ministry. And if you come and say, can you help my ministry? That's just one more thing on their plate. But if you can go and show interest that you want to help them, and you can start when you get that conversation, if you can get them to have a lunch, if you can get involved, then you say, you know, we are not competing with you. We're not trying to pull people away. Your church can't start your own pregnancy center, but let me tell you how we can help you. Because there's girls in your youth group. There's women in your church who need counseling because they've had abortions. And we can help you here, and we can help, and get to tell him, not in a way that's going to cause him more work and one more thing on his plate, but here's things that we're going to do for you. And maybe they would be open to having you teach a Sunday school class or doing a special Sunday on Sanctity of Life or some other time. Because sometimes pastors need a break and a Sunday off might be nice. And to talk about a ministry, that would be an option for you to go in there. We talked a lot last year and yesterday about to honor your volunteers. You got a lot of volunteers and staff. Go to those churches and ask the pastor, hey, can we come and honor your volunteer? It only takes 90 seconds. But during your service, we're going to go up and say, well, what do we got here? What's your name? Liz. Hi, Liz. Pastor, we're here to honor Liz today. She has served on this pregnancy center for the last 3 years.
Let me read it.
Oh, please.
Okay. So you go in, you take a plaque, you ask the pastor for 90 seconds, okay? He doesn't have, I would even say ask him for 60 seconds and push it to 75, okay? Just pretend you're a speaker. All right.
Pastors do it all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you'd say something like this. I got to get to the right one. Okay. You're going to hold up a plaque and show a picture of the person from the church on the screen, and it just so happens to have your center in the background. Just a sign, okay? A little subliminal, okay? Tell me it doesn't work. Why are you eating popcorn at movies? Okay, here we go. We never think that the people around us might just be lifesavers. On the back of this plaque is written the words of Teddy Roosevelt. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. 3 years ago, Marjorie Harper had the audacity to think she could save the lives of children. She serves as a volunteer at a Woman's Choice Pregnancy Care Center. Always use the full name. Don't use your abbreviation at that time to avoid any misunderstanding. And Marjorie is touching the lives of hundreds of women and children in our community. I'm here to say thank you to Pastor Gordon Douglas for instilling in his parishioners a desire to serve God in the area of life saving. I'm going to turn and hand a little something to him. It's best to be like a Starbucks coffee card in an envelope, okay? And say, thank you for supporting life in your community. I am here to personally walk into your congregation right now and hand this plaque to Marjorie Harper, a lifesaver. Please come by our booth in the foyer today and thank Marjorie with me immediately after the service. Marjorie, here I come. Please give Marjorie a hand. You've got 60 seconds. A pastor can't not let you honor one of his people when all of your other staff are being honored in their churches. It'll make them look bad. It's called peer pressure.
Sorry, Marjorie, you got your award, Liz. I'm sorry. Another 5 years of volunteer and we'll get you. But yeah, there are things that you can do. I was at an event in Maryland where they, at the banquet, had the pastors serve as waiters. And they actually had a fashion show of the pastors that they wore tuxes and did stuff. But they actually got to serve. And the pastor who brought the most people to the banquet got a chance to get a weekend getaway at one of the local resorts. The pastors love free getaways. And to be up front and say, yeah, we're going to introduce our waiters. They did a little fashion. It was neat. And you know what? The next year, other pastors wanted to be involved. And it wasn't, you know, they first, we could talk more about the ideas. But there's ways to connect and be involved. Invite them, a pastor that's not involved. Hey, would you come say the blessing at our banquet? Just to get them so they hear the testimonies. They're exposed to your ministry. Pastors love the limelight. We have a lot of the flesh. We're still battling there, a little ego. We're going to talk, hey, Pastor so-and-so from, oh, they love that kind of stuff. So there are just some ideas that we got to move on to the next one. And really, it sounds selfish. It doesn't sound spiritual. I believe in prayer. I'm praying for revival. I mean, but many people believe in this WINF. Pastors are thinking, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? So what you can tell, Dave, this is going to take a load off of your church. We're going to help minister to your things. One of the things I did when I was a youth pastor for 18 years is, and hopefully you do this, offer your center to bring a youth group. Bring a tour. Have them come and know where your building is. Have them come in and see that literature on the wall that they won't see in a public school. Let them see the machine and meet some of your staff, because I can guarantee you that every kid in your youth group is going to need that center or will know somebody who will. And just getting that visibility as part of what we do at the Laugh for Life nights, when it's not a banquet, we're just giving exposure to your ministry. We want people to find out about what you do. You make some friends, and then you become donors, and they become volunteers. So that's the next step. We're connecting with men in different ways. But I'm going to invite Mike. Yeah, there's a reason with Mike. Yeah, he's been the number one speaker 10 years in a row, booked and rebooked. Like 80% of the folks that have Mike have him back again. There's a reason for that. It's fun. People say, I would come back and hear him again. I would bring friends to hear that. I've been on the board for 27 years. I didn't know it was a lifetime thing when I got on my board. We have no term limits. And we've had some really good banquets and bad ones. But I'm telling you, when it's fun and you connect with people, it makes a big difference. So back to Mike.
Thank you, Paul. So our takeaway from this is that you've got to connect with those pastors, okay? Let me tell you the threefold brochures, which were so beautiful back in the 1980s. Remember those eras? Don't connect. You just can't give that with a pastor, and a pastor goes, oh, I want to add something to my plate. I would suggest you, Borden and I were talking about this earlier, that you change your work hours. I would suggest you take Friday off. I would suggest that your weekend becomes Friday and Saturday, and you consider Sunday a work day. Because if you want to connect with pastors, you're going to have to show them that you care about them as much as you want them to care about you. Did you hear me? You have to show them. You're going to have to visit churches. Well, they're not going to let me speak. Who cares? Just go and take brochures, sit in the back. Sit in the last row right on the aisle. That's someplace where somebody always sits. And when you're in their seat, that's going to... Who's that stranger in that seat? We don't know them, okay? Dress as conservatively as you possibly can. And just meet everybody you can. Hand out the brochures. Sister, are you here to try to speak today? No, not at all. We're just here. You know what? We disciple girls. And when we disciple them, we like to send them out to a local church in the area. And I don't feel like we can ever send a girl to a church that I haven't been to. Which really, isn't that true? So it's double duty, okay? It's work. That should be part of your job description, work. But go out and minister to these pastors. If you would like to have some of these short 60-second speeches, we have multiples, different kinds, to use in church presentations, because the church won't give you 5 minutes, but they'll give you 60 seconds. If you would like to have those, I'm going to have you just put your name and we'll send them out to you, okay? They just pass around the sheet. We'll get one every couple. We'll pass them around to you. I'm going to ask our guys, and so just start it from where you're at. Start it back, and then once it gets back, just make sure if you want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to, and that's fine. There's no nothing there, so just circle it around until it gets back to everybody. And here, I've got one. We'll use that for the back section there. Mr. Fennell, good to see you. Justin Fennell in the room, ladies and gentlemen, famous comedian. Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for dropping by to see us. We're going to give you some things right now that are going to be just some pointers in dealing with men. Some of these will have to do with your banquet. Some of these will have to do with your personal connection. And then we're going to wrap it all up together. Are we all having fun so far? Okay, good. Okay, Paul Aldrich has been doing Laugh for Life with us for many, many years. He's a great friend, great Christian guy. He's on the board of this Pregnancy Resource Center just outside of Nashville. Paul, what are you going to talk to us on men today?
We'll talk a little bit about connecting with male banquet donors. Connecting with men at your banquet. Hey, Justin, man, I haven't seen you. Connecting with those are going to all be banquet-centric things that deal with men. So I think, Mike, what I'm going to do, Mike, I'm going to go through the points that are mine just kind of as a group here.
Robert, just explain to me. Yes.
All right. So the first thing here, number one. So we got 11 points. If you want to, take these with you, things you consider to make your banquets more man-friendly. First of all, design for men. Think about your banquet decorations. Think about some of those frilly little balloon things you put there that just say, men, don't come in here. Make it so that guys want to be there. There are just little things you can do. Consider men in your decorations. Don't hand it off to the same person that's always in the decorations because, oh, heaven forbid, we should ever tell her what to do. And it just gets frillier and sillier and things. And men don't want to be there. Why not make it an environment? Dress the banquet, the actual physical layout, something that's male-friendly.
Paul, so as a question, so you're saying that just because we're a pregnancy center does not mean we have to use pink and blue for everything?
Oh, no, always pink and blue, because men just love that. Yeah.
Okay, so, but the camouflage version of it. Right, okay. All right.
Put little sport pictures on them, that'll do it. So, all right, number two, sell the men. Sell the men. Women are already on your side when they come into the room. Men are often brought along by those women. They need to be sold. They may be pro-life, but they need to be sold about your cause, your event. They need the details. They need you to build the picture for them that they can get excited. Some of the things Mike was talking about, the successful picture. Sell the men. Think about in your presentation, in every aspect of your bank, and that's we're going to come through, is this men friendly? Or am I actually putting obstacles in the way? Sell the men. Right? Number three here. Men hate to wait.
Move it along, Paul.
Men hate to wait. I'm sorry, too much pause for effect. Men hate to wait. They don't want to sit there watching people, in the buffet line for like an hour or two. Have you ever been in? This is money going out the door for guys. That just says your organization does not have its act together. Why would I want to support this? If this is how they run their banquet, how must they run their business? They don't want to wait around watching. So do the little things in your banquet that can make it easier. Have salads and desserts set on the table beforehand. That speeds everything up. Don't have these optional buffet things with 14 choices for people to make. Oh my gosh, this salad bar thing. I've seen people just, I don't know. What do you think, honey? Yes. Moving along, people. Here's your potato. Go! Anything you can do to speed the event up, especially that food service side of things, it's just really, really, really huge. Our last banquet, we started the meal early. People were there. Why wait for all the rest of the folks to come in? We just gave people permission, 10 minutes or so. Go ahead, start eating. We'll say a group prayer when everybody arrives. But why sit around having people stare at their food waiting? That's just time lost. Men hate to wait. And they're there. They're hungry. Men don't want to stare at food and not eat it. Yeah.
Speakers, if you have multiple speakers, the next person speaking is at the bottom of the stairs waiting for the first person to end.
Surely you jest. Preparation.
Waiting for somebody to come from the back of the room or what? Bob, where is he? Exactly. I mean, it's all just, and again, women don't love that, but men, it just drives them crazy. Everything should be efficient. Get the food going. Keep the program moving. Amen, sir. All right, moving on. Where's my accent here? Give the big number when you're talking about statistics at your banquet. Give men the big number. Don't break it down into little increments. Well, we had, we had 13 female clients, and we should include, and then that means it's 13 babies, and then three men came through, and then there was March, and then men get a big number, include everything, so because men want to, like, how many people are you serving? This many. And count the unborn children. Those are your clients, are they not? Are they not? I mean, otherwise, why are we here? Give men, like, we serve 1,500 people this year. Next year we want to do this. The guy's like, okay, I can get behind that. I want to go from here to here. If you drown them in little teeny statistics, then it's just the number that they're going to give you at the end of the evening is going to be smaller. Men give to the big number. Keep it simple. Give the numbers that really mean something, that are really important. Don't lose it in the details. They don't need a lot of numbers. But you're going to use stats. Very few, a big number, something guys can wrap their head around. Okay? All right, moving on. This will be my last one here. Men listen to men. Now, you don't always have to have a male speaker. If you have a female speaker that is also, that men can follow their story, great. It's not like, oh, only have men. But if you're going to have a female speaker, especially, it's especially important to have some male presence as part of your program. If it's woman after woman after woman after woman, you're going to lose the effectiveness with some of the guys. One awesome thing you can do is to have a male donor testimony.
Amen.
You hear that? A male donor testimony. A man who's saying, hey, you know, I came to this center. I found out about it. This is how I heard about it. I'm involved. Here's what my money is. I've seen my money go towards this and that. That's a very powerful thing. Some guy saying, I want to be like that giver. All right? Who's next?
Well, I want to comment on one thing you said. Paul said, count the children. Let me ask you a question, quick question. How many of you believe that life begins at conception? Okay, if we believe that life begins at conception, why is that baby not a client? In fact, I would say that the person you are doing the greatest service to out of everything that you do is saving a child who would have been killed and bringing life to them. So if we believe that children's lives are at conception, then we ought to count them as clients. When a pregnant woman comes into our center, you're not serving one person, you're serving what? Two. Now, we had an argument. I publish a little thing called banquetmoneyonline.com, okay? And we talked about this one day. Had a bunch of people chime in on that. And so I took a survey of how many people are actually... I have 700 centers that are on our email list, okay? I had 197 responses. And out of 197 responses, 195 said, yes, we count the children in our client count for our banquets. Okay, just so you'll know, because I know some of you need a little peer pressure to do it, okay? All right. We had one that said, we haven't been, but we are going to start doing that. And one said, no, we absolutely don't. We feel that that's unethical. Okay, so I just want you to know the stats on that. For me, it was just real simple. I was in an argument with a pro-choice person, and they said, you didn't even count the children. And you know what? She won the argument, didn't she?
Well, hello, I'm Robert. So I'm the new one because Mike is so busy, they had to bring in somebody else. So I'm married to a marriage and family therapist. I want you to understand when we talk about men here, these are generalities. We're not trying to insult one sex or the other, but just understand in general terms, women are relational. I think a lot of you know that, and they will talk and don't particularly care if the problem is solved. Men solve things. That's just how we're built. And if you talk about any marriage, the problems that most young marriages have, it's that it's this. And then the woman will say, why do you keep trying to solve my problem? And the man says, because you're talking to me. And then the woman says, quit trying to solve my problem. I said, well, quit talking to me. So this translates to banquets because men want things short and succinct. They want short stories. They don't want long, 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 long stories. They want to get to the point and how long we're going to be here. And I've got a game on DVR. I want to go home and watch that. So you have to make it as quick as possible. And to give you the ultimate example of a joke, my sister-in-law has more words in her vocabulary than any person alive. So if you took the Henny Youngman joke of take my wife, please, boom, that's succinct, that's a male joke, that's it. My sister-in-law would say, well, take my wife, she's a lovely woman, she's had some problems, had endometriosis last month, we prayed for her, she came over, it was a lovely time, and she's a little irritable right now, but that's understandable because she's got 6 kids, take her, please. So it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So you want to try to think about how can you make this as succinct as possible, which gets to the next point, your program. Each speaker, so how many of you have testimonials from young ladies? Most wonderful thing in the world. but they have to know how to tell a story. If they don't know how to tell a story, you'll lose the effectiveness. You want to give an intro, let them tell how it happened, and then go for that heart, and then get out. You want the men to go, I want to help her. I want to succeed. I want to make her, I want to make the center succeed. So each speaker has to be concise, but the program has to be concise. And when I say this, I want to give a caveat. Think about focus. How many of you pay attention to the speaker while dinner's going on? You don't. You're in conversation. You want to let that conversation at tables go on, but you don't want to let the program lull. So the point here is have dinner. Then when the audience is ready to focus on the program, you start the program and you make it happen. And you make short, succinct points with all of your people. So the land is there. Men have short attention spans. Eliminate long intros, long stories, long programs. Present what is needed to present your case. Like you said, have the man down at the bottom ready to walk up there. So focus is so important. But think of your program like a movie or a novel. You're telling a story. You start off strong and you build to a climax and you get out. Don't burden it with extra pieces because you think, well, Sally's a great singer and her daughter plays guitar and we would love to have them give an offering of song. And you do that in the middle of the program and you just kill the momentum. You want to build to a climax and get out. And so while I'm talking about music, I just want to do a quick thing on music, and that is, men find special music kind of boring. I'm sorry. They really do. Have it during dinner if that's when you want to put it up. I'm not trying to insult the harpist that you have or the guitarist, but if you've got a program and you're going to special music, you are losing men. And now think of the church wars. What are the biggest challenges we have in churches? It's music right now. Is it praise music? Is it choir? What do we do? So don't have that fight here. Just eliminate special music. And again, you could, and I've been to those banquets, I think we all have, where here's, even if they're famous, it's like, why is this person going up? Because men are thinking, I want to write my check, I want to get out of here, and you know what, I'm gonna get my silent auction item and just go home right now, because this is taking, the energy's been sucked out of my life. Men are just so impatient. I apologize for it. That's a generality. Just the perfect banquet for us is, we need money. Thank you. How much? Let me go. That's so if you could do that, it'd be great. But I don't think you'd get enough money. But if you can. So don't be divisive, I guess, is my point there. Was that too sarcastic there? I guess it was. So anyway.
It's okay. They're recording it.
I'm going to be succinct and bring up Gordon.
Robert, by the way, was one of the key writers for VeggieTales. You may not know that from this. Just doing that, but yeah, you should thank him for that.
VeggieTales, 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 VeggieTales.
Good stuff.
You look like broccoli.
Hey, how many of you do door prizes, give away anything? Give away anything for men? I know nothing says pro-life like a shotgun.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
bro. Woo!
But yeah, I have been to probably 5 banquets this year where it was either a gift card to Cabela's or Bass Pro Shops, but giving away a gun, which in some parts of the country is a really big draw for men. And they come out. So a simple little, you can make it a date night. Hopefully your husband will want to come along, but sitting at a table with strangers in a churchy kind of thing is not appeal for most people. You know, even Christian guys. But hey, if we're gonna have a shotgun thing or some kind of a contest, we did one recently at Galveston, Texas, I believe it was about this size of room from here to the water machine in the back. They set up a little putting machine, and they gave away it's like a $300 titanium putter. I'm not a golfer. The only thing I know about golf is that you should use little bunny rabbits instead of a golf ball because they don't go as far, but they run right to the hole when they land. It's kind of quick. So man, doing door fights, men like the challenge when they find out, you know, there's going to be 100 men, 200 men, and there's a really good putter. The shotgun still seems to be the biggest thing in drawing men out. It's a simple tool, but it will get them there, and hopefully, as you do some of these other things, they're going to get hooked when they're there. And as a pastor, let me apologize for all the pastors who have taken advantage of the opportunity to pray for your meal and decided to preach during their prayer or before their prayer. Before I get to the prayer, let me lecture you for 30 minutes on the abomination of desolation and the whore of Babylon and every other cultural ill that's out there.
Is that my mother-in-law?
Oh. So, yeah, I mean, pastors need instruction. And if you, hey, you have 30 seconds, pray for the food, maybe pray God. But some of them start to do the fundraising, and, oh, Lord, you know this center needs money, and you know that they're really struggling, and you know they laid people off, and, Lord, we're praying for an outpouring. And they're doing a financial appeal in the prayer, and they're turning people off. Thank God for the night. Thank God for his blessing this past year. Thank God for the babies that are born, and bless the food, and get off. And they need to be told that. Like, we are going to come up. We need to do that. And it's hard. So there are two things that are there. What is it? I had one more. Mike said, the MC. When the pastor gets done, just to have him introduce the next person. Some may not agree. I mean, sometimes I get hired to be the MC at a banquet. I love that. You can pay me to introduce people. That's fun and shared. But do we really need an MC? Because it takes him another minute to get up on stage and to get back down and introduce. If the next person just walks up, he already stole my point. Kevin from Bakersfield, California, right? Okay, I thought you two might be together. There you go. So, yeah, that's so important. You know, we just honored, now my predecessor, one of the founders of the center where I serve, was retiring, and he was in the last table in the back when they surprised him with a plaque. And he's old. It was like Tim Conway in life. Like, do we have a special song? Let's have a race. Get the putter. Get the shotgun. Do something. Get this guy out there. Oh, it's different, but hey, but we need that. We just try to think of ways that can keep it moving from being right at the stage to maybe just have that person introduced to go back and have people switching back and forth as we're doing today. But trying to do that fast, that would be good. So I'm going to turn it back over to Mike. What do we got next, Mike?
Gordon, great point. If you're not doing something to attract the men, why do you want to do that? Because the wives want to bring their husbands. Okay, our ladies' night out that we have down here, they would all love if their husband would have come with them. That would have been a date night. That's what they hope for. But they're settling for second best, the ladies' night out and eating cold chicken and icy green beans, because that's what caterers serve nowadays. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real. Have lots of candles on the table so they can heat it up before they eat it. Okay? Just do what you can, you know. Hey, one of you guys mentioned catering too. Please, people, remember, you pay the caterer. They are not in charge. You tell them how many plates are going to be on the table. You tell them that in advance. And you let them know, this is how we're going to do it. If you want my business, you can do this. If not, we'll go to somewhere else. Let me tell you, they need to do a contract with you, not you a contract with them. And if they go past their time, they ought to pay you $1,000 a minute, because that's what it costs at a banquet. That's what a minute is worth at a banquet, $1,000. They go over their time, they aren't there, they owe you money. You ought to get your dinner free when they're 10 minutes late. Okay? So here we are. Did everybody get a chance to get on? If you didn't get this wave, and make sure somebody will get, we will send you out a little bit of these presentations of what you can do, short presentations and ways you can thank men, and a few things like this. So thank you for bringing that up. I've been at probably 20 different groups who gave away a gun so that the ladies right here could say to their husbands, if we come as a couple tonight, we will get two tickets. There's probably going to be 50 couples tonight. So out of those 50 couples, you have two chances to win a shotgun. Guys like to win. That's part of that success. That's part of that Superman thing, okay? They like to, and all the ones that gave away shotgun also had the putting green. You know, 30-foot putt, anybody can win it. It's all about luck. But they want to be the one that gets up there. I always hate it when a pastor wins. It's always embarrassing when a pastor wins, because the pastor doesn't want to win a golf challenge, because then it looks like that's all he does all day is play golf, okay? But I've had a lot of them win. But you want to do that because you want to equip, okay? We want to equip our ladies to bring the men. Now I'm going to give you 6, 7, 8 in our remaining time. Men ideas. Okay? Men ideas. I like it. It works. I like it. I'm going to give you real quick, and then I want to talk about how to do this. One, approach men with projects. Don't always approach men with money needs, approach them with projects. Two, approach men to do male things for you. Example, a wild game prayer banquet at their church centering around your center. So you find one of those key people in the church. And men love to hunt and cook and eat and grunt and burp. Okay? They can't do that when you're there. All right? But Mike, those don't make a lot of money. Well, they may not, but they give you a lot of connections. We've got to start with connections. We don't always go for the win the first time. Matching dollars. Okay, you've got a donor. How many of you have a donor that does some type of matching gift? Okay? Why don't you ask that donor, Linda, why don't you ask that donor to say, can with this matching gift, can I use this tonight? Can I pre-advertise that for every couple that comes through the door, listen, this idea is going to make you money. For every couple that comes through the door, our matching donor is going to donate $100 to the center. Now, once again, do you see the pressure that we now put on the ladies' night out? We just always have a ladies' night out. We hadn't even thought about it. So some groups are we hadn't even thought about it. We just always do a ladies' night out. You see the pressure on that table? Okay, the pressure on that table is $800 that they're not giving to the center if they don't get their husband there. Okay, so use matching gifts. Did that make sense? Ask me if it didn't make sense what I'm saying. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. That's the first time I've told it to a group, so I'm not sure how it plays out. But use your matching gifts other than just to say, hey, if you know, we have a matching grant of up to $15,000 today. Break it down for people, okay? Community groups. Yes, ma'am. Hot air balloon. No, you need to specifically get real in your communication with your ladies. And let me put it into words for you. Ladies, we know that you want to bring your husband to the banquet. And having your husband is so important because centers cannot exist unless men and women are behind it. So we are going to do everything we can to help you encourage your husband to come to the banquet. In doing so, what we are going to do is everyone who comes as a couple will get two tickets and a chance to win this 28-gauge shotgun. Almost every place that I've gone to has been able to get the shotgun donated from a gun shop or a pawn shop, some gun that they haven't sold in 15 years because it's some weird kind of gun, but everybody'd like to be the only guy on the block to say, I've got this gun and I'm the only guy who's got a 28-gauge over and under double pumper shooter dumper, okay? Rumper stomper. Okay? You know what I'm saying? And I'm a gun expert. That's right. I learned all my gun lines from watching VeggieTales. Okay. All right. Yeah. And so anyway, you see what I'm saying? So you've got to give them reason to come. And so we're going, that's a reason to tell your husband he's got to come. He's got to come because if we come as a couple, that's an automatic $100. Do it for them. Okay? You go, well, Mike, maybe they won't give. Mike, if you tell them they're giving $100 automatically, they won't. Those men won't give. Well, let me ask you a question. How much are they giving now?
Zero.
Okay. What do you have to lose? We're going to have a putting challenge. Golfers are competitive. You tell them we're going to have a putting challenge, and golfers will want to come because they'll want to strut their stuff. Okay. They want to do that. Yes, ma'am. There's no wrong place to advertise this. You don't need to be secretive about it. This doesn't need to be a stealth thing that we're secretly trying to get men. Just say,
we want men,
okay? Yes, ma'am. Great. Well, as they're coming in, they do the putt-putt, and then somewhere in the opening time, it can be during the dinner. That way it doesn't take any time from the program. You have somebody get up there and say, hey, just wanted to tell you that the winner today of our putt-putt challenge is John Smith. John, we're taking the putter out to you. John, wave at us. Everybody give him applause. Boom. How long did that take? 20 seconds in and out. He got the applause. Everybody at the table, oh, pat on the back. Oh, you're the great putter. Okay, you did everything you need. Yes, sir.
If I'm sitting at a table and everybody's quiet and they're having a conversation and you announce
You think that's good or bad?
That's great.
I wasn't sure at first. I scared. It scared me a minute. Oh, yeah. I remember I was, yes, sir, in the back. Justin, you do a lot of these too. Justin. Yes, sometimes when you're having auctions, they may want to turn around and do that. I wouldn't, but yeah, because I'm a taker, okay? Yeah, yes.
I like what you're saying. I'm thinking about my little old ladies, though, and I know they're not my biggest givers, but they've been given for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and there's more little old ladies that come with their lady friends that are widows than there are little old men.
Right.
So how do I do what you're saying without making my little old ladies feel like I don't want them there?
You just are honest. You said, dear old ladies. Purple, blue, silver hair.
Have a puttery
kind. No.
I'll tell you what, when we did ours in Texas, it was not just for the men. We opened it up for everybody, and the winner was a Mennonite lady. and that was just kind of funny. Everybody was lined up because it was fun. And, you know, somebody got a hold of one. Now, all the guys tried, but all the women, like, you know, hey, how about if a woman won this? And it actually was a woman and a Mennonite.
Why not have two putting? Why not have a men's and a woman's putting chance? Why not just be honest and say in that letter, we understand some of you are single and you don't have a spouse. We love you. We want you here. But you know as much as we do. Just be honest. You know as much as we do. It's important for us to involve the whole family. And so we know you can't do that. You're going to be praying, though, that this way of reaching people is going to reach more men and women to bring them into the center. If they're truly supporters of yours, they'll understand what you're doing and they'll want to support it. And you can still honor that little table of 80-year-old women. I always, when I see a group of eight, I say, how many of you are single? I say, I got a group of eight single guys over here. We can get you guys together. I'll marry you. I'm a notary, okay? You know, when I go up to a table and I see one guy and seven women, I go, man, everybody in the room's going, how do you do it, you know? And some nights I'll go, are you Mormon? But no, I'll just no. I'm always very careful because I did that at a Mormon table one night. And so, anyway, How are you connected? What is with your civic groups? Your Knights of Columbus? Your Rotary? You know, we don't always have to present everything. Mike, what do you do? When I go to a civic group and talking to men, I talk to them about how our center intervenes with lives. We take young women who didn't know how to be a mom, and we train them to be a mom. So the community is changed because of our work. We take young men who didn't know how to be a dad, and we teach them to our earn while you learn. I don't use that term because they don't know what it is. That's a private term. That's like a Christianese. Through our Life Skills University. See how that makes a little more sense? Through our Life Skills University, I teach fathers how to be good fathers. We bring families back together in our center in the Dominican Republic. We have marriage conferences. We bring them together. We get them married. We provide wedding dresses for them. We get them married. I buy rings at Goodwill and we take them down there and we put the whole thing together. We put families together. So I'm not going to walk up in front of a civic group and you go, 1.3 million abortions. No! I'm going to talk about one of the aspects of our ministry that they can believe in whether they're pro-life or not. And I know some of you might say, well, I'm not taking a dollar from a non-pro-life person. I told them last night about two centers I know that the director and helper at Planned Parenthood actually goes to the banquet of the local PRC and donates money. I can take you to Reno, Nevada City, where when the Planned Parenthood closed, they gave the local pregnancy center their ultrasound machine. Be careful with how you market. Market to men. Be honest. Folks, unfortunately, you will be judged by your banquet. Men will not judge you on what you do all year long. They don't see that. They will judge you by a two-hour window in which you will have to convince them that you are worthy of receiving their funding. that you, through their funding, will thank them enough, bring significance to their life, help them feel more Superman, and that they can know that they've been successful. And so you have a short window in which to sell it. As was mentioned by one of you guys, or maybe all of you guys, the women are already on your side. But now, to wrap this up, you cannot expect anyone to respond to anything unless you ask. There's a wonderful book called The God Ask. It's written by Steve Shadrach. I would recommend it for any ED, DD, or anybody in the... In fact, The God Ask will show... You wonder how some of these organizations like Youth for Christ, Campus Crusade and stuff, have all these staff members that they don't pay a dime for? Hey, wouldn't you like to have that? They all use a book called The God Ask, and they have people raise their own private support to work for your organization. Yes, ma'am? Steve Shadrach. It's called The God Ask. You type in The God Ask, it'll pop right up. It's a big book, costs way too much. Get yours on eBay used. In fact, I'll be selling mine for $14 at the end of this program. If you don't ask, willing and able, able and willing, I hope I say this right. Seems we have a world filled with people with willing, but they're not able. But we need people who are able and willing. Now, I didn't say that right, so I'm just going to say it this way. Ralph, how you doing? You've seen our ministry. Let me ask you a question, Ralph. You're Christian. You're an elder at your church. Wow, that's so awesome. I have some men that need somebody to come alongside of them and be a mentor for them. You know, really... Our calling as Christians is to disciple. That's what Jesus asked us to do. Amen? Ralph, would you be willing to disciple one man? You know what I just did? Is I asked. I asked. Group asks are nothing when it comes to labor. That's why people say, Mike, why don't you ask people to do volunteering when you do your fundraising banquets at the end? Why don't you ask people to do volunteering? One is, I don't want to give them an out of not giving. It's a fundraising banquet. It's not a help-raising banquet. Well, it's both. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have it both, it'll hurt you. Because people will promise you to do anything that doesn't cost them a dime instead of giving you money. So keep it separate. But you've got to ask people. If you think that brochures will get that pastor to jump on board, forget it. You've got to sit down face to face and talk with them. You've got to physically just ask. Let me tell you what. If we don't believe enough in our organization to ask, we need to quit and find somebody who does. Unfortunately, most of you came to this organization to be the director, the executive director, because you love children, and somehow the board thought that you were going to be a development director. And you're going, hold it, that's not in my skill set. But unfortunately, folks, most of your organizations are not at the level where you can have both. So it either has to be, or they need to let you go to volunteer and hire a development director that will then fund you. But this is where we're at. You've got to have the men to do it. You need those male mentors. Ask. Think men. That's what our topic was yesterday. How to speak in the language, Rosetta Stone. How to speak in the language of men. How to speak abortion-minded clients. How to speak with donors. How to speak with underperforming donors. How to speak with donors who could be doing more. How to speak with donors that have fallen off. All these languages and what to say and what not to say. I hope you get that. Okay. I hope you order that. It's long. It's great. We had a great time. Okay. But gang, men. Think men. Ask men, prepare to reach men, and I will promise you from experience, from proof, that when you talk to the men, your dollars will go up, your donors will go up, your helpers will go up, and that will greatly help your organization. On the way out, I have a book entitled Awaken the Mighty Men. I'm out of it right now. I gave a bunch of them away yesterday. It's a book that says, here's what you do to men. This is why you need to be involved with your local pregnancy center. It's called Awaken the Mighty Men. Okay? It's available on Amazon. I don't have it today. I do have a book here called Thank You for Saving My Life. It's a book that you can put into the hands of men and says, this is what we do. They may think that all you do is help the little Mexican kids in your town. Starts off, this can't happen to a pastor's daughter. Ouch. I want to give you one of these books. They're available at cost from the publisher because that's what we do with our PRC stuff. It's available for you at the actual cost. You can use them for men. But I want to give you a copy of this today. If you want one, you can come up afterwards. I want to put one in your hand. Thank you for what you do. I believe in you. I love you guys. Okay? We love you guys. We get to work with the greatest people in the world. And you are it. You are saving lives. You are lifesavers. Thank you for allowing us to be with you. May the grace and peace of God go with you. And may this be a time and this learning be a soup of wisdom that will benefit your center and save lives next year in Jesus' name. Amen.